The sum of the whole matter is this. The Son has come from the Father to set the children free from their sins. The children must hear and obey him, that he may send forth judgment unto victory. Man cannot make himself pure, but he can leave that which is impure. He cannot save himself, but he can let the Lord save him. The struggle of his weakness is as essential to the coming victory as the strength of him who resists unto death, striving against sin. I've been trying to understand a little bit about freedom these past days and what exactly it means to be set free in Christ. Christianity is about being free. It's about experiencing that freedom that comes from living in him. In Adam, all must die, but in Christ, all are made alive. Christ becomes the model by which our own lives are shaped. We are called to follow him. We are called, as is written in Romans 6, to be slaves of righteousness. Being a slave of righteousness is not restricting, as it would sound. It is freedom. There's a paradox here. Being bound in Christ, we are set free. We strive to become like him, but being sinners, we make wrong choices. We cause pain. We do evil, even as we try not to, and what good we try to do, we don't do. But we can handle these ambiguities because we die to sin. We can do that literally through Christ. In his death, we have life. Though we remain sinners, Christ frees us from that sin. It's another paradox. We are given the freedom to be sinners, though we are called to structure ourselves after Christ, who is free of sin. In being a sinner, however, we must suffer the consequences of that sin. And yet it's a blessing because we can join God in the judgment upon us. We can accept the consequences of our own lives due to our Christianity without begging for his mercy. We want his judgment. It's really a scary thing to me not even to recognize the evil around, to be so a part of it that we don't suffer or bear our consequences. MacDonald says, "Vengeance is mine," quoting Romans. If we understand it rightly, we may as well pray for God's vengeance as for his forgiveness. He equates the two there. For God's vengeance is to make the sinner turn against his sin and to be against himself and so for himself. As we are in need of judgment, let him grant us his vengeance and let us not want to get off. Luther says that being a sinner, that makes what I do sin, and not what I do makes me a sinner. And that's really incredible. That makes us free to make choices. And our sin would be the refusal to be a sinner. We're always sinners whether we're Christians or not. If we, for example, kill or commit adultery, let us pray God's vengeance upon us. It's frightening for me to see when I've allowed myself to escape that by shifting the blame or in personal justification, claiming to have the right to sin. We are only justified by faith, even unto death, and that death is freeing, it's purifying. There's such a freedom in obedience. I tried to put this in kind of understandable, in an understandable parallel for myself, and it helped me to look at it in terms of the blues. I don't know very much about music, but I do know that in the blues there's a solid foundation. There's structure in its lyrics, in its chord progressions, and in its style. It's because all the players are united in that framework that they're able to be more free in improvisation. The same in dance and in poetry. What freedom. That freedom, it's found within the structure. In Christ, it seems even more exciting because we work to adhere to those boundaries. We strive to be like Jesus, and yet it's the boundless grace of God that ultimately makes us aware of our sin. And then he forgives us. Dorothy Sayers talks about forgiveness in her book, The Matter of Eternity. Nancy read it the other night, but it's really so good. I'm going to have to read it again. Forgiveness. It may be easier to understand what forgiveness is if we first clear away misconceptions about what it does. It does not wipe out the consequences of sin. The words and images used for forgiveness in the New Testament frequently have to do with the cancellation of debt. It is scarcely necessary to point out that when a debt is canceled, this does not mean that the money is miraculously restored from nowhere. It means only that the obligation originally due to the borrower is voluntarily discharged by the lender. If I injure you and you mulct me in damages, then I bear the consequences. If you forbear to prosecute, then you bear the consequences. If the injury is irreparable and you are vindictive, injury is added to injury. If you are forgiving and I am repentant, then we share the consequences and gain a friendship. But in every case, the consequences are borne by somebody. The parable of the unmerciful servant adds to a further illuminating suggestion that forgiveness is not merely a mutual act, but a social act. If injuries are not forgiven all around, the grace of pardon is made ineffective and the inexorable judgment of the law is forced into operation. Again, in trusting Jesus, we are made to see our sin. We're called to confess it, and so we're set free. Luther says that in sinning, we must confess our sins, and we must shepherd one another also through public baptism, through the admonition of sin. Okay, we must respond to one another in meekness. We need to make choices. We need to take a stand for others. It's our calling, and it has to start in us. In not knowing the perfection of my decisions, I'm still called to act. I think that's what Luther means when he says, sin boldly. We do not go out and sin the greatest sin that we can because we know that there's forgiveness. I'm called to make responsible choices, and I make many wrong ones. I take the wrong paths, but I must step out in faith. God, as Joan said in her Vespers, gives us freedom to fail. And though we take the wrong path, he remains constant. He will be near us always, whether we turn him away or not. That freedom to fall short of perfection is an exciting and yet responsible realization. If sin is bad behavior, our natural response is to be afraid of acting at all, crippled by sin. But to be freed by Christ, even in being a sinner, we are then free to live in this ambiguous world. We can then face our future here on earth and the ultimate future of Christ. We can wash away our past sins. If he can wash away our past sins, then he can also free us from the tension and the anxiety of the future. To be, as Bonhoeffer says, a little Christ, we are called then to suffer the cross, to bear the consequences of sin unto death. But because he works for good in all that, he will set us free. We are free because we are a son of God in Christ, free then to suffer in him bearing the burdens of our own humanness, and free in the forgiveness of sins, free in the love of Jesus, ultimate freedom in him who gave us life. Amen. Let's sing hymn 428, the second.